Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
How fun it is to see God put people together. You heard a little bit of the testimony. Pastor Steve told you that we were 18 years old, 18 and 16. Well, she got saved at 16 at camp. Her daddy, she asked her daddy to go to that Assembly of God church. We were born and raised Roman Catholic. In Louisiana, 99.9% of people are Catholic. If you're not, you're dead or something else. There's nothing else there, right? And so we did everything our parents told us to do and followed through and honored our family. But the pastor's daughter had invited Melissa to camp, to youth camp. And so she asked her daddy for $40. Pastor Steve alluded to it. If you can help a student go to camp, you don't never know the investment you're making in eternity. Her dad was apprehensive about sending them to that Assembly of God church. You know how y'all are. And so, but he did. He said, my daughter's asking to go to a camp that honors God. I'm not sure what they're doing, but I'm going to give her $40. And my father-in-law invested in that $40. She went to camp. She got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and called to be a minister's wife. She didn't even have but an old ungodly boyfriend, basically. But how many know God has a plan for our lives? And yeah, go ahead and give him praise. But at any rate, I'll make a long testimony short. She came home to her unsaved family. We were saved about as saved as somebody can know how to be saved. She shared the love of God with us and prayed for us for a year. And I was privileged to be able to come to Christ because of a praying girlfriend. And thank God we've been serving the Lord together. And then went into ministry. God called us. Can I tell you, God's no respecter of persons. If you have a love for God, you will get involved in the work. I would challenge you today, let's go. Could somebody shout with me, let's go? Let's go. So let's get started in the Word of God. Pastor Steve, Brooke, thank you so much for letting us come and share. Our heart is for missions. We are pastors, but we love the mission of God. And we've been following Jesus. And if you're following Jesus, how many know you're going to go? And the disciples, he picked 12 of them, and he told them to follow me. So that means it's something like if you are speaking Spanish, it's vamanos. You know what I mean? Dora the Explorer, let's go. Let's go, right? And so they dropped their nets. They took their tax work income, whatever, and dropped it all at the table and started following Jesus. Can I tell you, by faith, that's the way to go. But Jesus is not sitting still. He came. He did miracles. He did good. He preached the gospel everywhere. You'll read in the gospels everywhere. He got up, and from the moment he got up to the time he went to bed, he was moving and healing and touching and blessing and touching the children, blessing the children. Everywhere he went, he was doing good everywhere. Everywhere he went and calling people aside him to do the same. So I want you to look with me as we take the theme, Pastor Steve, great theme. Let's go, right? John chapter 4. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to get up and go somewhere. But here we find in chapter 4, right after John, we come into the book of Acts. You can basically sum up Acts with three statements. You're right? Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the church went out. Let's go, right? And so you're following Jesus, you're going to be going somewhere. But in John chapter 4, we know this chapter, it's a very, very familiar passage. But I want to look at verse 35 through 38. And I don't have much time because I know you want to get your sunglasses. And some of you, about 11:30, you're telling your wife or your husband, let's go, right? And so I want you to hang tight and not go just yet until we release you and commission you, all right? So chapter 4 of the book of John, verse 35, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. That's going to be a key right there. Both. Somebody say both. And for both of you, let's go, right? He who reaps receives wages, right? And gathers fruit for eternal life. And both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Look at verse 37. For in this the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. Then Jesus closes it up saying, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have already labored and you have entered into their labors. This is the great story of the Samaritan woman at the well. They're leaving Judea. Jesus is going, right? In fact, chapter 4, early on, I think it's verse 4, it says, but he needed to go to Samaria. That is a divine compulsion. The disciples, sometimes they didn't really know where we were going. Who knows where the Lord's going to go, right? You just follow. How many know you just follow? If Jesus says go, you go. And if you don't, you never know what you're going to miss. I have no regrets because serving the Lord for me has been a wonderful journey. Pastor Steve and Brooke spent 7 years with us, 5 years with the other pastor, and we went everywhere, every day, all day. They were full time with us. What an incredible journey. We went together, and life was full of adventure and lots of miles and lots of places and lots of mission. And that's the way it was with the Lord. If you're going to follow somebody, you got to get up and go, right? You got to get up and go. And Jesus said, follow me. So they were always engaged with the Lord, although sometimes they didn't know where they were going. And Jesus said, hey, let's go. And they left Judea. They go into Galilee. And on the way, Jesus says, I really need to stop by Samaria. Let's go to Samaria. Now, to the Jews and the 12 disciples who were Jews, they weren't sure why in the world we needed to go to Samaria. For the custom was, if you're going to go to Galilee, you go all the way around Samaria. You don't even get close to those people. They are scuzz buckets. How many know what a scuzz bucket is? Those are people you don't associate with. That's the way it was culturally. But how many know Jesus is countercultural? He don't really care where you're from. If he wants to go to Samaria, you got to go. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to end up going to Samaria because that's where they went. And they were very tired. I'll tell you why. Because ministry is hard work. The mission of God is not for wimps. And I thank God for the missionaries. That was beautiful. Watching, I told Brooke and Steve, please get us that for our missions convention. I want a little line to all the places that Oak Grove has gone, is going. Gotta have that. I need that. Let's go to the ends of the world. In fact, before Jesus ascended, he said the last words, to the end of the earth, right? And lo, I am with you even to the end of the earth. That's his final words on this planet, the end of the earth. So he's saying to us, go, Matthew 28, right? Go, preach, teach, baptize, right? And lets us know that he will be with us all the way. But it's not for wimps. It's not for casual Christians. The mission of God is for those who are willing to work. Work. It takes a lot of work to do ministry. And I thank God for pastors as you have. How many know God has sent you some key people to help lead this church? Not only your senior leader pastors, but your staff pastors as well. Give God praise one more time for who he sent you. For you to go with them. For you to go with them. And so you remember that he says he felt he needed to go to a place no man's gone before. These people never been there. But Jesus said, it doesn't matter whether you've been there. If you're going to go with me, we're going there, right? And whether you like it or not, whether it's hard or not, we don't get to choose the places we go. We go where he leads us. And the Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit led the Bradshaws and all the other staff here to be with you. So that both clergy and laity can come together, and there's no more clergy and laity, there is clarity. I want somebody to say amen. That's just a combination, right, of God putting people together, divine connection, to say we're going to go together. Me and Steve, we have lots of things, like you said, and one of the things we always say is what we've done together. Together. God didn't call us apart. He called us together. Now, what hinders us sometimes is prejudice and privilege and or sometimes things that we want instead of what God wants. That's what hinders us sometimes. So when we go together, we might have to get rid of some of our preferences and start dealing with God's proclamation of the word. So that's where we're going. We're going to sow seed in Samaria. We're going to sow seed in Samaria. So when you're talking about sowing and reaping, which is what we're going to talk about today just for a few minutes, Jesus knew, the disciples come back, he's very tired, they knew he was weary, so they said, we're going to go into town, right, and we're going to get some food and something to drink because the Lord, the Master, is tired. Now you understand, he's 100% God and he's 100% man. So in his humanity, he's tired. But in his divinity, I wish somebody helped me preach this morning. In his humanity, he's tired, but in his divinity, he's inspired. Let's go. He's got a mission. And so the guys leave to go get food, and Jesus has another plan. And this woman comes from Samaria to the well about a mile out of Sychar. And so she's there. Jesus, who's customarily not supposed to be talking to women at all, much less Samaritan women. I mean, if you could find a bipolar opposite, this is it. The Messiah Jew with a Samaritan woman. But boy, doesn't he show us how to lead somebody to Jesus. Man, he sows seed in this woman's life. He knew. In fact, after the whole thing's happening while the boys are going to get food, because their mind was on food, but his mind was on fulfillment of God's will. He said, my food, my meat. Yes, I was tired. Yes, I'm hungry, because that's what we do, right? We go. But my meat, it's amazing, because when they got back, they were astonished at the Lord's energy. I mean, he's excited. Like, I just talked to her. You don't believe. Boys, y'all missed it. Do you know the danger of staying behind? You can miss opportunity after opportunity. Opportunity after opportunity. If you don't go, what happens if you don't go? I say, don't miss your moment. Central Assembly, God has called you here for such a time as this. I mean, oh, it's time to go. It's time for all of us to follow him into the mission. And I'm certainly proud of watching everywhere you went with the little red line. I cried. I was like, this is a crazy, amazing that just a small group of people can make such an impact. At Oak Grove, we say we're a local church with a global vision. You see, God, even though we might be in Independence, Missouri, God is affecting change all around the world because of what you're doing. So we have to get eternally minded. The disciples, you know, they were trying to help Jesus. You know, how many's ever tried to help God out? Anybody try to help God out? Poor God. He needs help. He's tired. He's weary. They didn't quite understand who he was. But he's trying to prepare them, and they're shocked to find him. He was so exhausted, now he's energized. And they said, Rabbi, eat. He said, I have food to eat you have no idea about. My food is doing the will of my Father and finishing his work. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's some work that's unfinished. A lot of work has been done. Pastor and the staff here have worked hard. It is beautiful. In fact, when they first got here, we came and brought a team from Oak Grove, and I remember painting till midnight or later. And boy, you have really revolutionized this place. It's beautiful. But how many know the church is more than just a building? Oh my goodness, the church is made up of people. In fact, there are people that are not yet here that will be here. And the next time we come, there will be people sitting amongst you that are not here this morning. I say, let's go. Let's go get them. And so he's going into teaching about four months. So on the journey from Judea to Galilee, all the way to Samaria, he sees these fields, these wheat fields. They're all over the place, right? They're all over the place. And so they're walking along, and the wheat at this stage in the game is green. It's not ripe. It's not ripe. So the conversation started like, hey, wow, look at this. And they're so hungry and they're so tired. And boy, it would be nice to just stop by and get a little wheat. You know what I mean? They'll glean a little bit like Boaz, you know, Naomi and Ruth. Give me a little. I'm starving. Just give me a little bit to sustain me and my energy because we're working hard following Jesus. So you hear the boys say something like, maybe in 4 months, this wheat is going to be ripe. Ready for harvest. And Jesus comes up and says, hey, don't say that. Because they were looking at an agricultural thing when Jesus was looking at a supernatural thing. They were looking at agriculture while Jesus was looking at eternity. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you got to get on the page with Jesus. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to go where he goes. You got to get what he's saying. And so as they walked through the fields that were not yet ripe, they were saying, you know, this Jesus turns around, talks a whole lot different harvest. He knew there were a bunch of Samaritans heading that way, and the Jews couldn't stand them. Agriculturally, we wait, but according to Jesus, missionally, we go. So if you're a farmer, you have to wait. How many farmers? How many have done any farming in here? Raise your hand. A couple of farmers. How many has had a garden? Anybody here have a garden? A couple of three more. Okay. Well, listen, if you plant seed, tomato plant, I think you have a tomato plant on the porch. I saw that this morning. I was praying. Is that a tomato plant? Some kind of something out there. Just herbs. Herbs. But if you're going to plant seeds, you know, the herbs don't pop up tomorrow. How many know we are a microwave generation with a crock pot God? How many know what I'm saying? So you don't put the seed in today and give the harvest tomorrow. You have to wait. Agriculturally, you have to wait. Yeah. So you first, before you ever throw the seed in the ground, you got to plow up the ground, right? You got to plow up the ground. You got to cultivate it, get it ready. And then after you pull all the weeds in Missouri, you got to get all the rocks out, right? I think the Missouri grows rocks. Because the more you dig, the more rocks you get. There's no way you can plant anything. You have to have a whole lot of topsoil to grow anything in Missouri. But you put the seed in, and then you wait. You wait. So it was common sense. It's earthly thinking to wait. Jesus said, don't think like that. He turned the whole thing around and said, you're thinking agriculture. I'm thinking eternal. Don't say 4 months. The harvest. Open your eyes and look up. Look at the fields. And what he's turning their head is toward the Samaritans. Look who's coming my way. Because see, the lady left when the boys came back with the food. The woman left to go back in the town. And she ran back. And what did she say? She said, hey, everybody, come and meet a man. Told me everything. Everything. This could be the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. They've been waiting 400 years and never even heard, or even longer than that. The prophecies of the prophets of God have been saying Messiah was coming for years and years and years, right? Here he is. Come and see him. You talk about an evangelist. Did you know one of the greatest evangelists in the New Testament is this Samaritan woman? She led the whole city to Jesus. I want you to get this. She said, when she got there, I think I found the Messiah. Let's go. And they came. I got to tell you that they didn't get saved yet. They came to Jesus because she brought them to him. You just got to get the scenario here. Do you feel like, I want you to understand this, some people may not even come to Christ until you prepare the soil. Sow the seed, heighten the expectation. Could this be him? Just come. I mean, I've known a lot of men, too many men, she said. And Jesus knew her. I mean, the Lord knows how to read your email. He can read your email. He knows your address. He knows how many you with. He knows the ones you're with now. He knows. But the disciples don't have the infinite knowledge of Jesus. Because he's 100% God, he's 100% man. But this Samaritan woman, she got it. Jesus said to her, hey, lady, I'm thirsty, give me a drink. She said, who are you? A Jew asking a woman like me for a drink. And he said the magic words, woman, if you knew who it was that I am and who was asking you for a drink, you would have gone a long time ago to get me the drink. How many agree with that? If I would have known at 10 years old what I found out at 18, you think I'm crazy now. I would have been totally crazy. I missed 10 good years of sharing life with Jesus. But I'm making up for lost time. Can you say amen for that? So if you don't want to have a good time, just let me. Because I'm having a good time up here. I appreciate it. According to the Lord, missionally, we're supposed to go, right? And so it was already prepared. He said, don't wait. It's already prepared. He said, you're going to sow where you have not reaped. You're going to reap where you have not ever labored. What is he talking about here? He's going back to Old Testament to say, hey, the prophets of God came. Isaiah was cut in two, sawn in two. Are you hearing me? A lot of people paid the price. It's not easy going. As these guys go off to Vanuatu, there's cannibals over there. You know what I'm saying? There are people going to places that are dark continents of this world. There are people going alone. They leave the pleasures of American culture. How many know you can't take America with you when you go to Thailand? Two totally different lands. So they have to cultivate a missionary mindset. They have to leave everything in America. They have to leave Andes frozen custard. I mean, oh, that's not easy. I mean, shoot me. Or send it to me in a frozen box with hot ice. And they take, not only they lose the pleasures of all their things that they get to have, they take their children with them to abandoned islands with nobody but the language barrier and all the, it's not easy being a missionary. And so I would have to add today in America, it's not even easy being a born-again believer. With all the oppression and the pressures and the culture as dark as it's getting. I mean, oh, it's hard to hold up a bloodstained banner, the cross of Christ, and tell people Jesus is the only way. And so we have to be very, very strategic. We need the Holy Spirit. How many believe we need the Holy Spirit? We have to have the Spirit, but we also need the strategy. Jesus said to the woman at the well, they that worship me, because she went into the religious deal, right? Our fathers worship in the mountain, where do you know, and all that. And he said, hey, they that worship me, worship in spirit and in truth. There's a balance between doing what we need to do and allowing God to do what only he can do. How many know God's going to build himself a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Does anybody here believe that? So he's going to do it. He's going to do that, my friends, with or without us. I want to be in that number. I want to go with him. I don't want to miss anything. So the disciples come back and they find him and he's all excited. I'm sure he's telling them the story. But this is the deal. The work of sowing and reaping, many have gone before us. We're not the first to have gone. I don't know how many pastors have come through here at Central Assembly. But some sowed seed along the way. Some of you have been here for 40 years or 50 years. You've invested in this house for all of those years. If you would have given up and not gone all the way, we may not be here. Could somebody give God praise for the people who've gone before us? We're sowing. We're sowing. We're sowing. Or we're reaping what other people have sown. There are two things going on here. Sowing and reaping. And he's saying, hey, you, and I told Pastor Steve I'd tell you this story, because when I first got saved, you know, I was very excited. I was radically transformed and glad to be saved. I mean, the life I had, listen, the life I had wasn't worth living. Boy, but when I found Jesus, I found new life. I found a life, a new way to live. I found hope and joy and peace. I mean, being born again is a wonderful thing. I love Jesus. I love the kingdom. I love the church. And so I got to work immediately. I worked for Frito-Lay Company, you know. The chips was rolling in. The chips was rolling in. And I'm not talking about money, but the chips was rolling in. I was rolling the chips in. And I'd have different stops. I'd have stores or Walmart and all that. You seen the Frito-Lay truck guy? Yeah, he's putting the chips on the shelf. And there's Lay's, Doritos, Fritos. I know. There's a lot of chips on the shelf. And I remember I had a snowball stand that I stopped at twice a week. And the guy's name was Roy. And African-American brother, and I witnessed to him every time I stopped. In fact, like Pastor Steve said, everybody's a candidate for Jesus. In my book, if you sit on the plane next to me, you might as well put your earplugs in, because I'm going to come at you, right? Love me or hate me, but don't ignore me. Okay? Pucker up or duck, but here I come, okay? That's just the way it is. And so I was witnessing to Roy. I witnessed to Roy for a whole year. I was so excited. One day I pull up to the snowball stand and Roy comes out. He's smiling ear to ear. He said, "Brother Ron, guess what happened to me today?" I thought, "I don't know, man, what?" He said, "Well, the Pepsi man came by after you left and I received Jesus." And I got to tell you, I wanted to be happy, but I was not happy. I was not a happy camper. I mean, afterwards I got happy, but I thought to myself, I worked and worked and worked and worked and sowed and sowed and preached and taught and talked and stayed long hours with you, Roy, and you let the Pepsi man lead you to Jesus? Same company, okay, I get it. But when I get to heaven, I want somebody to help me out here. When I get to heaven, the Lord saw the hours with Roy. So that the one who sows and the one who reaps rejoice together. You see what he's saying here? Hey, the one who sows, sows. The one who plowed before you. John the Baptist and the prophets and paid the price. All them, Daniel, the lion's den. Do you understand? These are not fairy tales. These are people that gave up their life for the cause of the gospel and the Messiah who's coming. Not even here yet. And John the Baptist, he prepared the way in the wilderness. So Jesus is saying, hey, in 38, he said, it's already prepared. You just need to know the work has been done. Our work is to reap where others have sown, and all will benefit together. And the second thing I thought in 37th verse, and he gives everybody a task. Some sow and some reap. And so sometimes we think that reaping is all the joy. And then I get it. How many would rather reap than sow? All right, let me put it like this. How many would rather eat the watermelon than plant the seed? Come on now. Yeah, you're feeling it. Now you're feeling it. We should have had a watermelon fest today just to get a real feel here. The one who had to cultivate the ground, go out every week and pull the weeds and water, 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 water. Paul understood that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because people were saying, I am of Paul. And I'm over here. I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Cephas. He's a better teacher. And this church is better than that church. And Paul said, no, I didn't baptize none of y'all. He said, I planted, Apollos watered. But what? God gives the increase. You see that? So that the one who sows and the one who reaps rejoice together. We're together in this. When you give whatever you give in just a few minutes to your faith promise. Am I over time already? Good night. Let's go. No, I'm teasing. So the one who reaps and the one who sows are together. It's not equal giving today. Somebody's salary might be lower than somebody else's. So if you give $10 a month to missions, somebody else might give $100 a month to missions, but it's the same sacrifice. How many know it's equal sacrifice, not equal giving? But your $10 and the other's $100 comes to $110. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And so together we rejoice that we can add missionaries and go around the world. I'm challenging you today just to say both of us need to go together. Not a complaint. Jesus said it was kind of like one sows another reap. It was kind of like a slang in the day that says, yeah, I do all the work like the Pepsi man. He gets the credit, right? So I did all the work. He got the credit. It was the same thing. Jesus took a slang that was kind of a complaining slang of the day. One sows, the other reaps. This guy does all the work. Some people got it all. You know what I mean? Got it made. And I'm over here struggling. And I see that? And he turned it around. He said, no, the truth is, all of us together sow and reap. So this week, as you're out, okay, you're going to do missions in just a minute. That's cross-cultural. But how many know there's a mission of God in Independence, Missouri, and you are it. This is a mission. We consider Oak Grove a mission in Springfield, Missouri. In fact, we took a missions trip to Springfield. Remember that? They slept on the floor just like we go to Alaska next week. We put them on the floor. We charged them $100. We went to Convoy of Hope and bagged groceries. Listen, why should we win the whole world and forget our own neighborhood? You got a near neighbor witness right there. So, well, Pastor, I witnessed before. Well, keep on keeping on. Keep on sharing the news. Just scatter the seed everywhere you go. I'm an everywhere evangelist. There are people that do not attend Oak Grove, but they call me pastor. Over at Popeye's, Michael calls me pastor for the last 2 years. And Sue over at the Chinese Chef, still not safe. Going through breast cancer. When I walk in to order my sweet and sour chicken. Y'all, let's go. I'm getting ready to go now. We're going to take me to get some barbecue. But I'm saying, when I go in, she calls me pastor. She's never lightened the door of our church. But I'm her pastor. You know why? I'm going to bring her to Jesus. I'm going to be like Steve Urkel, and I'm going to wear her down. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Okay. So the reward of the work is the last thing I want to share, and I got to close. The purpose of the work. Everybody who works, Jesus said, receives a wage. Okay? The wages we receive, though, even though it's a hard work, it's a sacrificial gift you're about to give all year long. It's hard. It's not easy. But God will provide. How many believe God will provide? You get involved. Let's go together. And he said, you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. God, how many has found that the Lord has already been faithful to you in your giving, in your generosity? So people will spend eternity with God. And so to be a part of that, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew and to the Gentile. There's only two kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles. Today, if you're a Jew, you're not a Gentile. Today, if you're a Gentile, you're not a Jew. That's the only two kinds of people in the world, right? At least in that known world. And that's today, too. So those who sow and those who reap will be with the Lord, Jesus, rejoice together. So let me just close by ending the story, because I thought it was a powerful story. This lady comes back with these people, and all the way back to the well, a mile journey, she's telling these people, he told me things, I mean, you just wouldn't believe. How did he know all of that? And, I mean, the Holy Spirit knows who you are. And he knows who the people are you're speaking to, sowing seed in, investing, spending time with. You spell love, T-I-M-E. That's how you spell love. And so they're talking. And so the Bible says in John 4 at the end there, you read a little further, that they believed in her. So they followed her to Jesus. Then at the end it said they believed in Jesus because they met him for themselves. Do you see that? So she was instrumental in getting them to the Lord. And Jesus was the only one who can save. How many know I can't save anybody? Although Melissa was a very big influence in my coming to Christ, it was Jesus. I had to say yes. I had to say yes to Jesus. And so at the end of the day, when I'm standing before the Lord, I'm going to look right at the Pepsi man and say, back up. No. I'm going to back up. I'm going to say, let's go. Right? I'm going to say, let's go together, Pepsi man. Because your effort that day, because you were willing to pray with him, and I was willing to sow the seed, that man and his whole family. You got to understand, our church was all white. It wasn't all right, but it was all white. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so this was the first African-American family that came in. And his wife, Treasure, was her name. She had a big old gold tooth with a star on it. And whenever Roy and his family, two boys, came, they came down to the altar that Sunday. Because he said, where do I go to church, Ron? I said, you might as well go to First Assembly with me. Let's go. Yeah. So I took him to church, but guess what? Christ took him into the kingdom. Yeah. See, you can bring him to church, but they have to come to Christ on their own. And so the pastor gave the altar, and Roy and his family went down. And then all of a sudden, I left to go to Bible school, Melissa and I, and Treasure and Roy Banks sang in the choir. Oh, I tell you, that what a beautiful sight. So when I left my church, I replaced it with another tithe-paying, smiling, singing family. And that's how you do it. Don't ever leave this church unless you put another person in this seat. You can't empty a seat. You don't have to fill it, right? Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do this together, and I think the reward's going to be great. My missionary mentor, his name is Charlie Greenaway. He crossed Africa on a Harley Davidson. He had been bitten by spiders, had witch doctors chased him around the jungle. And he'd been through it. He was a pioneer. How many thank God for our pioneers? He was a pioneer. And in his old age, I had him for my last missions convention at Peace Chapel in the Springfield area. And he said, Ron, I got to tell you something. You get the same reward for sowing as you do for reaping. You get the same reward. And the reward is for being faithful. So I challenge you, as Pastor comes to receive these faith promises. You know, if you have to have a pair of glasses, go ahead. We'll give you two of them. Okay? Take two pair. We don't care. It's really about the sacrifice of praying. How much is it that I want to invest in the kingdom this year? And don't do what you can do. Anybody can do what you can do. Do what you can believe God to do through you. Because here's the key principle. If he can get it through you, he'll be glad to get it to you. So the Lord can give promotions, he can give raises, he can fund. But if he knows that you're going to let loose of it, he'll bring it to you. If he thinks you're going to hoard it and hide it, and you won't be getting it. It'll be all what you can do, not what God can do. So I want you to stand. I want to pray a blessing and a commissioning prayer over you. Pastor, I'm sorry I went over, but the key is faithfulness. Melissa's favorite scripture is Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Paul said to the Thessalonian church, you are my reward. You are my reward. Roy and Treasure Banks are my reward. Do you understand that? I can't wait to see them. Plus, we'll have a little gospel and soul when we get to heaven. Help me, Lord. So, how many say, Pastor Ron, I want to be in step with Jesus. I'm willing to go. Just lift your hand and say, I'm willing to go. I say, let's go together. Somebody shout, let's go.
Let's go.
All right, raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, we pray for every one of these in the house this morning. What an honor it is to preach here at Central and share the mission of God. And Lord, we want to follow you. Therefore, if we follow you, we're going to follow you to the cross. If we follow you, we follow you to the grave. If we follow you, we'll be resurrected with you. If we follow you, we'll be commissioned to Samaria. We'll go where nobody wants to go. We'll do what nobody wants to do. We'll say what nobody wants to say. We'll be what nobody wants to be because we're following you. We don't want to work for you, God. We want to work with you. And we want to work with each other because together we are better. So I ask, God, that you would just bless and commission this body that this week, even in their own jobs and houses and neighborhoods and job, work, school, everywhere they go, they will sow seed, scatter it everywhere. Some seed will fall on good ground. Some will fall on thistles and thorns. Some will fall on a path that's packed down and birds will eat the seed. But God, we will sow seed. And the seed is the word of God. We're not sowing programs. We're not sowing stuff. We're sowing the word of God that is eternal. And the word will not return void. So help us to realize that we pray like it all depends on you. And work like it all depends on us. So we wait for your word. We wait for your will. And we thank you that our desire, like the Lord's, is to do the will of the Master and finish his work. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise and welcome Pastor back. God bless you, buddy boy. I love you, man.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.